right, good afternoon. Welcome to the, this is kind of, I guess it's a special audit committee, no, quarterly? All right, regular one. Call to order and roll call, please.
Chairperson Ferguson.
Here, present.
Vice Chairperson Bertrand.
Here.
Member Bagwell.
Here.
Member Mayhorn. Member Strasburg.
Present.
Quorum is present.
Okay, public comments. I'm just going to read the comment in the agenda. Public is invited at this time to comment on and discuss any topic that is relevant or within the authority of the Carson City Audit Committee. In order for members of the public to participate in the committee's consideration of an agenda item, the committee strongly encourages members of the public to comment on the agenda item during the item itself. No action may be taken on the matter raised under public comment unless the item is specifically included on the agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. Public, so okay.
They're not all running.
No. approval on the minutes from June 12th. Can I get a motion?
So moved.
All those in favor?
Need a second.
Okay.
We're quick.
Okay. Aye. And adoption of the agenda. Any changes to the couple agenda items we got today?
No, sorry.
Okay.
Nancy usually says that. She's just not here. Sorry.
Okay. She's back there.
But that's your job now.
She's hiding.
It's Sherry's job now.
Yeah, we're in trouble. You'll get the hang of it.
Okay. With that, on to the meeting item 6A. Up for possible action, discussion, and possible action regarding the monitoring review and closure of internal audit findings included in the audit tracking report and provided recommendations to the Board of Supervisors for closure of completed projects. Sherry?
Thank you. So these are a lot of older reports, and then there's two new reports. In which we got some manager recommendations included as well. So, and I let our new internal auditor know that this is the audit findings tracking sheet, and she will most likely be going through this with you in the future. But since this is from our prior internal auditor, I was going to go through this today with you.
Okay.
So there's a few older ones on here. Like I said, the first one is the internal controls review, and a lot of these will be updated when we do our policy review over the new ERP system. I can change things now if that's your preference. I just didn't want to go through the whole policy and then have to change it in 6 months anyway. So whatever your direction is,
yeah.
That would be great.
Okay. So what's the time frame right now for the new ERP? What's the target and launch date?
Well, we're not implementing until 7/1, but I do think we would be far enough along to be able to update the policies and stuff by about March. However, I understand if you don't want to wait that long, I can put the information in the old policies and, you know, carry it forward and then figure it out and make sure that language is in the new policy as well. It's just, I'm just picking this up, so trying to figure out the best way you guys want me to do this.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So, Sherry, one of the things that when I read what the issues are that we need to resolve, that part of the issue is what you said, it's been outstanding since 2015. And when I look at what the actual recommendation is, I think they're general enough. It doesn't matter if it's ERP or what accounting system. They're just general good policies. And so I don't think if you did work now, it would be wasted because it'd be just what you said. You'd be putting that in any policy that you did. And I really would feel, for me, more comfortable if we actually could close these out, that you could finish them, close them out, because I really think you're going to end up in 2 years from now that we then audit the procedures against the ERP. So I'm not so sure you're not actually hurting yourself by not, let's get them done, roll them off this plate so we can close these old audits out. And then you have the new internal auditor auditing against the new procedures that you'll need to do with the ERP. And unless I'm wrong on any of these, is there any that you thought really were ERP driven versus a general policy? Like the first one is dealing with just the inventory and making sure you guys have a policy in place that says all the department heads should review their policy tech procedures once a year and report that they did it or something like that.
Yeah, no, these are findings about the current procedures, so we can definitely update them now. I think the whole, and again, I'm new to this position, but I think the whole thought process was we're going to look at the contract, we're going to update it for this, we're going to update it for the new ERP, get it in the system, and get it done all at the same time. So, I mean, it's efficient, but it's not helpful to leave a comment over open for 9 months. So I agree. You know, I can go ahead and update this, and then, you know, in March, I only have to fix it for the ERP stuff. So
there's a couple issues. So the comment is Moss Adams was performing an inventory of all city policies and procedures. Was it actual policy issues or procedures? Because procedures are much more detailed than policies. Policies are kind of general and state. You know, there will be a separation of duties between, you know, anybody who handles cash and people who reconcile cash or something along those lines, right? So procedures are more they should be very detailed, actually, to the point where you have screenshots of, you know, screens out of the ERP system. And then the next step is which procedures weren't adequately documented. And, you know, I don't remember, actually, this was, 3 years ago now, but what procedures weren't adequately documented. So if it was like something critical, like, you know, controls around payroll, controls around accounts payable, controls around cash handling, or was it something more general like, this is how you reconcile, you know, the operating cash account. You know, so this is a big topic that's covered in like one item, but there's really two or three parts to it. I wouldn't be in favor of taking the time to go through and document detailed procedures on everything at this point, because the ERP is going to change how you guys do business. The policies, they shouldn't change. The policies are going to be overlying policies. So that's my two cents.
I think
you have, when you look, so the first one that's open is just the internal control review itself. So if we were to stick to the ones that are here, and we can just go through those, because we closed already all of the ones like on cash handling that were the specific procedures that had internal control problems, like improper cash handling or dual receipting. I think there was something on the storage of the cash overnight. You know, all of the ones that were the detailed procedure, we have fixed those. What we've left, I think, is the gap, is the overarching policy. Like the first one is we're supposed to have an inventory of all of our policies, and it has a date that says when it was updated and who's responsible for making sure it's reviewed. So that's the first one, which I think, again, is a pretty not too difficult of one for you to maybe take care of, number 32, that's outstanding on the internal control. Then you look at the next one is a specific thing on the payroll. And again, the issue there was just not having supervisors pre-sign timesheets. So I don't care what system that is either. No system should have a supervisor saying, I swear the hours are correct and his overtime is right, when he's signing it on Wednesday and the pay period doesn't end until Friday.
Right.
So those, to me, is what I'm talking about. These are the overarching policy, not the finite press A to get this computer to do this. And because I agree with you on the detailed procedure they'll do once they have the new computer systems. But I think that these are the overarching policy statements, and therefore we should have that no matter what computer system you implement. So I don't mind if you go through these and there's one that you think is directly related system versus policy. But I'd like to close out all the policy ones.
Yeah, and like I said, I think I can go through the current policy and make these changes. And then if anything does change with the ERP system, I can go back and look at that in March. It's not a big deal. So I can definitely close these out for you. I just wanted to, again, get your direction. So
real quick, is there a policy manual and is there a procedure manual? And where is that stuff stored? There are software systems that help, you know, help ensure that everything's up to date because it'll, like, send you reminders. Hey, it's been a year since you looked at, you know, cash handling procedures. You may want to go in and update it.
We do have a system called Policy Tech, and it does exactly that. All the new employees get inundated with policies when they start, and then depending on how often we think they need to read each policy, some of them are mandated by NRS, you know, like a harassment type policy. You have to make sure the employee gets a harassment training every 2 years. Some of them are just what HR believes we need to be looking at how often. So it just depends on the length of time.
Does it go down to the procedure level though? Like I'm talking it's more of a policy.
It is. Yeah, okay. It's just policies. The procedures are separate. Usually whoever's doing their desk, whoever's doing the actual procedures.
And actually, I'll just add on to that is that individual departments actually do have some of their procedures in Policy Tech also. Yeah. So like finances, procurement, there's a lot of procedures that finance does that are in Policy Tech. So it's not open, it's not citywide, so it's not something that all the individual departments would need to look at, but it's just for finance. And I think the courts have many of their policies in there and procedures also. So there is a way that you can just put stuff specific to the department.
So are all the finance procedures in Policy Tech?
I can't say that. I think most of them are actually in Policy Tech. They need to be reviewed, I think, and updated. So.
Okay, and does it go to it keeps track of the most recent update to the procedure. Is the actual procedure maintained in Policy Tech, or is that outside? So.
Let me look it up real quick, but I'm pretty sure the procedures are in there also. Okay.
I can check that.
Sorry, I implemented Sarbanes-Oxley at a company, and when I start hearing this stuff, all these thoughts start going off in my mind about, you know, it's a public corporation thing, but the framework of what was done is excellent, and, you know, I mean, you know, we had very detailed documentation on who the primary person was, who the backup person was. You know, we documented the level of complexity of that procedure, you know, whether it involved multiple systems or multiple systems inputs or just one. You know, we even quantified the time and the amount of time that it took to reconcile or work each item. And then we could say, hey, we think we're going to have, you know, 10,000 of these items, and they take 15 seconds, and you multiply it out, it gives you an FTE equivalent. And then, you know, it also says, hey, this is areas where we need to work. We don't have any backups for, you know, XYZ trained backups in case somebody leaves, and then you're out of, you know, out of luck on how things are supposed to work. So it gets to a new level of detail, but the framework is good for it.
And I can confirm it does have all the procedures in there. And those are just specific to the finance department. So just there's like the fixed asset procedures are in there and how to have that. Yeah.
Okay, good. Thanks. So it sounds like we're going to wait on updating procedures until the new ERP is. No,
we're going to get them done.
No, I really want to close these old ones. I mean, I just don't know how much more to stress that that I object to having something out here from 2015.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's hanging both, frankly, it's hanging over their head too, right? And why do they want that? It looks like, what, we couldn't comply, and in 3 years we couldn't figure out how to write a simple statement in our policy that says don't sign a payroll timesheet before the time period.
Okay, I would look at it as a policy. That's not
a
procedure.
Right, yeah. That's what I said. Well.
So I was saying a procedure is because they're going to be specific to the ERP. I don't know.
I would say you don't write the ERP procedure until you have with the ERP system. You should be kind of almost dovetailing that together, right?
Yeah.
Right, because as soon as that comes out, people are going to need their desktop procedure. You know, here it is, and I'll see you in a year. That's not going to work. They'll have to kind of dovetail that. But all of these that I'm reading, I really don't see them as system specific. That's what I mean. I don't see them as a procedure. I really see them as a policy.
Okay.
The controls may convert from a manual to an automated control when the new ERP comes through, and you may have the screenshots and everything to reinforce the internal control. But since this is going to take some time, it is better to start now than starting in March.
Yeah, I have no problem updating. As your new CFO, I have no problem updating and getting rid of these findings. I don't like things laying out there forever either, I promise. So I will definitely update these policies and get them fixed, and then I will revisit the ERP stuff in March while we implement to make sure the procedures are in place.
Okay, so this item's going to remain open, and hopefully we can close it next audit committee meeting.
She might have to leave. The CFO may not, so the one I see potentially, the Public Guardian review, I'd actually, well, that one has a pending that says it's waiting to effectuate the new changes from the NRS at the same time. So that one probably would stay open because I know we're in the process of hiring a new Public Guardian, so I could actually see the Public Guardian one. That seems reasonable to me that we keep that to December, that the CFO isn't going to be able to close that one. Then when I look at, I don't think there was anything else. I think that's really the one I saw that really wasn't in our control to fix yet. And then you can look, the capital projects review one, I thought that's our new audit. So this one, we're just reviewing their responses to it, and do we want to accept the responses? So maybe now we can really spend our time on the capital projects because those are new responses that they're asking for us to accept. See if there's any of those we like or don't like, wanting to do different.
Okay. Does that make sense, everybody? Okay.
Can I ask a question then on one, Mr. Chairman?
Sure.
So number six, which is the public works. It says December of 2018. So maybe can I just have a status? Is that something you're just saying, and maybe that's Darren to answer or a combination, I'm not sure. This is the one that dealt with separating the capital projects documents and doing the proper tracking. Is that one you're working on right now and you just estimate you'll have the whole piece done in December? Oh, okay, so you are already.
Absolutely.
Okay, I said, wait, you're not gonna start till December? You're gonna finish the whole thing by December. Okay, perfect, just wanted to clarify.
So real quick, just to clarify, on all the ones where the finding was related to a policy, those are all going to be updated and addressed before the next audit committee meeting. So there's quite a few of them, right? Anything that says the city's current policy, blah, 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 and everything was pushed out to
pretty much everything that's pushed out to March of 19. I'll go ahead and update the policy, and we can probably close it next meeting.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Yeah, see, it makes sense on number five because it really was a systemic issue with the ability to track the public works work, that sounds great, the works workers' time to see if the new system could effectuate a more automated methodology of breaking down the time. So, see, that one's more into what you said, procedure. Mm-hmm. And so when is it that we think ERP is coming online?
We have an online date of March 1st, but July 1st, but March, the time and billing won't be in until.
That's right. So it's a separate project. So ERP, we have five different phases.
Okay.
So the first phase is the financials. The second phase is that we're starting right now is community development, EnerGov land management. The third phase is the human capital. That's the actual payroll piece, and that is kicking off December of 2018. Completion right now is scheduled for October of 2019.
Okay.
So this July 19 date might not let's I'd rather we fix this now, because again, if we want to accept this, then we're going to be holding you to a date. So I hate to give you more time, but I think I have to here. So you're anticipating October of 19 for the system to be completed, to come online for the payroll component. So if I were then to, how long do you think after it comes up, do you need to integrate it and rewrite your procedure and policy to do that? How much time do you think you would need, Darren?
That'll actually be when it go live. We'll have the procedures prior to that. Because when we go live, that's going
to
be.
But he'll then have to do, like, so one of the other things that maybe Eric's not aware, then we test it, right? So then you'll bring it online, and somebody will pull one transaction, say it worked, and Darren will say, good, we can close this because we're able to do timesheets to the.
That's all level. Prior to the actual go live for the entire city is scheduled
for
October of 19. Testing is going to be prior.
So if we actually put this in October, that would give you enough time. You need longer.
No, it won't. In October, we'll be going live with our time and our timesheets electronically. But in terms of tracking the project, we won't start that until after October.
Right.
So
that's what I mean.
Yeah.
So if I gave you a quarter, that's what I said. If I gave you one quarter of use, then you'd be able to say we were able to track project.
January of 20 is more accurate.
Okay.
Thank you. Good catch.
Well, I see. I hate to hold people accountable, but it in the end is what happens to you. Okay. So the recommendation then on number five is to change it to January of 20 for go live. And we'll do one quarter. They'll have tracked their time. And then somebody, which then the internal auditor can do that on validation. Because remember, we had validation that it actually closed. So if she's here and writing a note. So the good part is then she can go through all the ones and say, it's validated. Because testing isn't going to do it. You'll have to wait till it's live. And I think a quarter's worth of data to say, yes, they're properly able to track a person's time on the projects. So, okay. So we'll change that one to January of 20 on number five.
Yeah, the next one was Public Guardian follow-up that was, looks like it was completed May 3rd. Eight findings open from that one. We got the CARF and a single audit that was from November last year. So we've got four open findings there.
And this was from the follow-up audit, because we have
We have the one still outstanding from the original
audit
itself, which is the, we're waiting to integrate all the NRS changes that were done because they just had a wholesale update in that. So that was on page 12 of our packet. That's item number 4. That's out.
Item number 4, which one?
So let me understand. What's item 4 in Public Guardian follow-up? Continue developing comprehensive policies and procedures to document.
Institutional knowledge.
And this one is, why do they have the same number? Because it's actually two separate ones. Because remember, we had Moss Adams follow. That's one we actually did a follow-up audit.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had so many findings on the original audit. So we have 4 from the original one that we're keeping open till December of 18. And then this is on the follow-up. And PPP partial. Staff operate their highest and best use. Consider establishing a list of pre-qualified on-call already. Okay. So we still haven't done this one, right? Number 2.
That's still open.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's still open.
So one of the things I wrote a note on that, and Darren is here, and maybe, I don't know if it'll work or won't work, but I'm looking to link potentially the paratransit because that is for medical appointments, which are what most of these wards need transportation for. So, and I know, because I know I was reading something or discussing something where one of the issues is we have our people in the Public Guardian's office that are actually picking clients up and taking them to appointments. And I don't know that I think that's the wisest answer. So, but the paratransit drivers are properly trained to handle people with potential medical issues or whatever that need to get to appointments and have the right kind of van that maybe a wheelchair can fit on. So I just want to bring that up as maybe we could have some conversations of anything we can do to handle the transportation needs through the paratransit system. And even if it's the, what do they pay? Some of them pay none and some pay $2.50, something like that. I can't remember.
Darren Schultz, Public Works, for the record. I'm not familiar enough to know whether or not can happen, but I certainly agree that we can have a discussion about it and see if it works out. So,
mm-hmm. Yep. So that maybe we can solve something for both sides of the plate there and see if we can get this one knocked off the.
And I have a question.
And RSVP. Has transportation also for people. So I'm just, let's see if we can't get this one off of our, or admit we can't, right? That we don't have one or the other. We either have a resource and we've developed maybe two options, or there isn't a resource other than calling them a cab. I don't know. So, okay.
So on number 3, it talks about fireproof cabinets for all documents or. Do we have a backlog of documents that are actually in fireproof cabinets, or do we have a backlog of documents that are not in fireproof cabinets? And the next question is, are all documents going forward scanned so that we don't need to buy these overly expensive fireproof cabinets are tremendously expensive.
I think they're talking about our storage area downstairs. I don't believe that has fireproof cabinets in it. So I think that was the risk is that.
So there's actual Public Guardian files that are not in fireproof cabinets and have not been scanned?
Yes.
Okay.
They're old historical documents. They're downstairs. But I believe they have to keep them forever. So it's a matter of.
So why wouldn't we just hire a temp or a couple temps and start scanning these documents in so we don't need to buy fireproof cabinets?
Well, I can recommend that to them. I don't know if they have it in their budget, but we can recommend it to them.
Okay. And it's something to look at. It's usually a big project, but it's a heck of a lot better than going out and spending.
And I think this issue is the same. I know that the DA's office is also scanning
all the back files, but first and foremost is to double check how long they have to keep them and make sure we're not scanning or worrying about documents that are past the records retention on it. So validate the records retention on that one. Because, see, it's deceased 7 or more years, so maybe a lot of those records we don't even, I don't know.
So this is probably getting into a legal question, but do we have a formal records retention?
Yes.
You know, document for all documents?
Yes, it tells you document, okay. That's right. So okay. Validate on that. But then again, because what we're trying to do here is accept your answer or not.
Right.
And I just think that it's correct where you say that we're going to not do a storage methodology. We're going to go to a scan methodology and then close it also, right, to say
exactly.
We're scanning and it's an ongoing – all new records we are scanning, right? The backlog is going to the old ones, and maybe those will just go by the – guess what? The archive date is passed, and so we're down – to just, I don't know, but look at that and see if we can't close this one and say our policy is now scanning.
You want me to include an expected completion date on this? Because I'm not sure exactly how many documents we're talking about. I have to get with the public guardian.
Mm-hmm.
It would be good to have at least an estimate of when that completion date might be, even if we have to move it based on additional discovery.
Well, let's talk about it to a different end. Are you saying we're going to keep this item sitting out on a piece of paper until the very last item that's less than 7 years old is scanned and it'll drop off by the archive? I'm trying to be truly realistic, right? Sometimes something's a recommendation. It doesn't mean you implement it or accept it. You look at it in its entirety and say, is it, how much value is there to taking 7-year-old records and trying to scan them versus in order to not have this problem continue, we are now scanning all documents and have been for a year, and so we'll take the risk and leave the archived ones down in the storage and take that risk that the 7-year mark will happen.
Yeah, if they're 6 years old, it's going to take a year to scan them in.
That's a waste of
time.
Time and that's what I'm trying to get to.
I understand that, but we don't know exactly what the situation is, right? We don't know. I don't know how the files are being stored now to see which ones are less than 7 years.
But again, my point is, what does it matter? They're going to sit there in the storage. If they need them, they go to the storage. The only risk factor is if you have a fire and they burn. And what's our risk factor versus hiring somebody to go sit down in a thing and start scanning old records? That's how important is the record? How many times has somebody requested a 7-year-old record from a ward that you were with a public guardian? Probably.
Yeah, I look, I mean, my opinion, I look at more as a recommendation, and I say we close it.
I
mean, the city knows they've got a task here to scan stuff that makes sense to scan, and moving forward, I would assume all stuff scanned, so it's really an issue of archived items, so. That'd be my.
Yeah. I think the most important is that you assure us the documents are being scanned. And I think I read a report, and maybe I'm putting on my hat from the Board of Supervisors side, but I think I remember Deborah coming and giving us a report that everything is scanned now to client folders. So we've eliminated the storage issue by scanning. So if you can just confirm that all the documents are scanned, I think I'll have a comfort zone, and then we could close it.
Yeah.
But let's make sure we've eliminated the – we're not going to continue the backlog problem. Okay, thanks.
Along the lines of closing items, number 5, it says conduct a follow-up study in 2 years, and it's got a closure date of 2020. I would close that. When we do the next audit, we'll get that on the list to to make sure it's done. But we're not going to leave it open for 2 years because we need to reassess it.
Sorry, it looks like they've addressed number one. Did you want to close that one as well?
Yeah, the yeses will be closures.
Okay.
Yeah.
The next one, six as well, dual control entry requirements for storage unit through updated combination on the lock system. It says the option needs to be researched. I don't remember talking about this, but it seems like a pretty straightforward fix. Either, you know, a different type of lock that uses some kind of technology to know when somebody's accessed the unit, or do you guys remember talking about this? I don't
know. And I'm kind of wondering, when they're saying no, and is this basically that they don't agree with this finding, they're not going to act on it, or does it mean that they it's just not corrected? So it's just being so.
I think one, again, where it's stored, and so even though you may have a recommendation, put on a dual lock, like you said, it's might be the records are downstairs in a basement or whatever, and there's all the records, or is it the storage shed where all the ward's items are? And again, you look in the community and say, okay, they don't have dual locking. You know, we pay XYZ storage shed place, and here's ward number two's items, and it's not set up, and we don't control the key entry that way. That's what I, you know what I mean? It's not, might not be as simple as it sounds.
There might be a compensating control, like there might be 24-hour cameras there.
And that'll be good enough.
Yeah, because then if somebody accesses it, you can, as long as they, as long as they,
know who went in and out.
You know, as long as they can access that and know who went in and out, the compensating controls there, you don't need two locks, you got a camera system. So if anything comes up to be an issue, we go back and look at the video logs. So I don't remember talking about this back in the May meeting. It was, but this one is another one where I would maybe get a better understanding of what the issue is, and then hopefully we can close it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think they were talking about the storage shed, that we pay a monthly fee to a storage facility. Yeah.
I think he brought up a good point. If the facility has a camera, then maybe we use that, like he said, as the compensating control. If there's any issue, pull the tape to see if somebody's.
Just make sure they keep it for,
you know, however long or whatever.
6 months or something.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'll.
Even the next one, consider developing standard contracts with approval. So consider to me sounds like a recommendation. Yeah, we're not going to keep, you know, either we're going to implement it or we aren't. It has partial, and it says this is different as we use different vendors for different types of jobs. So it's few and far between in most cases. So, again, let's think about this as more of a recommendation and close it.
Yeah, you know, I think in some of these cases too, when they come back, because we're giving them the opportunity to say, does this even really make sense to us? You know, in some cases when we make recommendations, they look at it and it says that the benefits don't outweigh the cost.
Correct.
So they have to take a look at that, and we may not know that. So I think when they come back on something like that and they give us a response like that, unless we have additional information or concerns, we just close it. You know, like you said, it's a recommendation. So I think going forward in the future, when we get these comments back, we're first of all looking to see if they accept them or not.
Right.
If they don't accept it, we need to know if we accept their non-acceptance or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree that I think on those two, I accept their, you know.
And I had an idea even on number seven is just to say, I think the problem is really, and why they're saying it's difficult, is they're all little small tasks. So I need to clean out Ward 3's house because they passed away and we have to get everything out. So it's a one-time job of $400 or $500 to have somebody clean up the stuff and take it to the trash. So maybe that this one could be changed into you will develop a call list of interested parties that have said they're willing to do the small jobs. You know, yes, I'll be on your cleanup crew, and then maybe your contract Carol Lake or somebody, you can design a form or something so that things are signed off and documented. We're not doing a formal RFP because the jobs are just too small, but you get a good little documentation for the file that there's no problems. And you just develop a little call list. Maybe our, who's those vendors we use for part-time, not manpower, some of those. Maybe they have some on-call workers. You could call them up and say, do you have any jobbers or, you know, people that will come for a one-day stuff and get that developed and have a list of here's 10 names that they can call from and call it good. But that it's documented. I think that's really what the issues, if I recall, in the Public Guardian ones is things were happening and the file wasn't well documented. That
there was one of the big issues, yeah.
Yeah. So
okay. So it looks like a lot of we had some items that were.
We could knock eight off too.
Yeah. Again, it was a recommendation. Consider utilizing the city surplus property auctions to sell.
So would you change that to a yes and indicate whenever a public auction is occurring, the Public Guardian's office will be notified? And then they can join in. So if we have one, you'll notify them so they can put any of the ward's items in there.
Yeah, we do it every April and October, basically, so we can let them know our time frame and when they need to. Yeah,
and it's done. Yep. So we could change that then to a yes and just write that. Perfect. Thank you.
So it looks like we made some progress on the CAFR and single audit. There's three items that were closed since our last meeting. Can somebody walk us through what was done to close these out?
Sure. So on the finding number one, this was the error that was we just didn't review the proper documentation. It wasn't included with the journal entry, so it wasn't reviewed. So we've now made sure that going forward that proper documentation will be included with the journal entry. The problem is we only do this journal entry once a year, so in order to validate it, we're going to have to wait till the next audit, unless you want to consider it closed.
It's closed in my mind. I mean, just the again, here's where the policy is. Backup is attached to all journal entries, and when we do internal audits or when we do external audits, we should ask the auditors to make sure that when they're looking at journal entries and they're looking at backup for journal entries that are done, that all the backup is there and supported. Close. Yeah.
The second one, again, this had to do with the year-end closing procedures. It was the OPEB report. We pulled the wrong number off the report. We actually had a conversation with our actuary and the auditors to make sure that going forward we will use the correct number. Again, this is something we do once a year, so I left it on here because there's no way to validate it until we do that procedure, unless you want to close it.
Close it. Relabeled the sample document to tell you which figure to pull. So, close it.
Yep.
I mean, I think you can have something. I would think they would have a documentation how to pull those numbers because I work with those same reports from the actuary. And I put together a document, what comes out of which column and where does it go. So I would think that they would have something. So a good answer to that would be in our documentation of where we pull this information, where it goes, we now have that, we've updated that documentation. If they've done that, then it's settled. That way next year when it comes around, even if it's not the same person doing it, they've got that document to pull from.
There is a procedure out there, and I believe we did update it last year, but I'll double check that. This third one was one of the grant findings, and it was the duplicate requests. So what we've been doing all year is we've added the finance department review before the reimbursement request goes out in most cases.
So
and
refresh
we've
my memory,
found
this
no
was a,
problems.
We asked for duplicate reimbursement from a state agency or something like that. Was that it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So it wasn't caught. Usually it's caught by finance, but it wasn't caught this time. And so they found it during the audit. And we have since added procedures. There's a new person at Public Works who's much more accounting-oriented who is creating the reimbursement requests. And since then, finance has been reviewing her request before it goes out the door, and we've had no problems.
Okay. So the sentence there, finance in the under the recommendation or remediation plan, finance has reviewed several requests, has reviewed several requests before they were submitted, time permitting, and have noted no issues with the new process. So are all reimbursement requests reviewed by finance, or is it just a time permitting?
At one point or another, we do review all the reimbursement requests. It just doesn't happen before it's submitted in most cases. We did it in this case because they had a finding.
Okay.
But finance, I need far many more FTEs to be able to review every single grant reimbursement that goes out the door before before it's submitted. It's something we do, you know, every quarter or year end to try to make sure there's no problems.
So are there other occasions where you've identified duplicates or errors in the reimbursement request? And,
we have, and
review?
We usually send it in and in the next following request, and it's fine. And our auditors have never had a problem with as long as we catch it and fix it, it's usually not a problem. This is one that slipped through the cracks and we didn't catch.
Okay. Is that kind of a standard practice?
Yeah, we have the health department that probably has but over 50 grants, and they have to file reports like every month. And they have, most departments have their business managers that are doing the request for reimbursement. So so they go ahead and do that on a monthly basis, because I don't think there'd be enough time to get all those reports to finance prior to that. But then, like Sherry said, all of them get reconciled pretty much to the penny at year end. And so this was just with the transit grants because we had, you know, findings for a couple of years, I think. So then we decided to start reviewing them, you know, before they went out. So, but now they have someone an accountant that is doing their request for reimbursement rather than a program person. So.
But they have tons of them. Yeah. So, okay.
And I think if I remember, part of it was they'd picked up an encumbrance and picked it up in a bill. Then the darn invoice got paid in the next quarter and they picked it up as the invoice. The encumbrance shouldn't have been picked up. And I don't know if in the new ERP system, I don't know if there was a condition in there that where a person can actually indicate that it's been grant pulled. You know, that there's actually, when I bill a grant, that I can go in there and already check the transaction off. You know, that's something I could do in my old system. I'd have my state accounting system, but I could pull it off and have a checkbox that
I'm
put in.
I'm not sure if that's possible, but I'll definitely check with our ERP system
because
that would help
really
a lot.
It really does help to say, you know, and so I'd put like a 1, 2, 3, or 4. I'd put what federal billing cycle I put that bill on. So then, right, if it came up, I go, whoa, it already has a checkbox, or it has a number 3 in it, which means I build it on the third quarter, whatever the answer is. So since you're working on your ERP, even if you have a blank field that hasn't, because sometimes you give yourself extra fields, it's
they
just
user defined fields. I really like this idea.
It's really a wonderful thought to be able, because that way it solves the person, right? Did I already pull this last time? Because it was a stupid $50 part for something that came through. It'd be nice if they could code it that it was already on a grant mm-hmm. pull. So just a thought. Not that zero errors will ever occur. The opportunity, though, like you said, it helps you find them.
I'm sorry. Were you going to say something else?
I was Take us through where we're at on number four.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so number four is this one had to do with the contracts and the language in the contracts for the grants. And apparently several other entities had this same finding. So we actually engaged Ide Bailey to our new internal auditor separately from this internal audit process, but we've engaged them to do a thorough review and make sure we understand exactly what language needs to be in these contracts.
Good. Well, it's going to, looks like we've got it out there till the end of the year right now, right? Are we, if Ide Bailey's going to, yeah.
I think we could change it to a yes because they're going to complete the it's done for us.
In other words, they've taken the procedure.
Right.
They've taken
the corrective action.
To go what they need to be done, so that's what we need to do. It's going to be taken care of, so I think we can take it off.
Yeah, so then all these are closed. Good job. All right, any other comments on the open audit? Any other discussion items on the open audit items from the audit tracker?
Just to clarify, because I don't really think we need an overall motion, but you have what you're doing on each item. You don't need any more clarity.
Okay. No, I know what I'm doing on each item.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
Okay. Next item is the talking about the audit plan for next year. Which we have worded as... it's up for possible action, discussion, and possible action to identify and discuss, provide recommendations to the Board of Supervisors on projects to be performed by the auditor, internal auditor, for the period ending June 30th, 2019.
So I'm going to turn this over to Nelsina. She did create this schedule, kind of like our previous internal auditor had. This is a list of projects that was discussed at the last meeting. And if there's any update on any other things, I'm sure Nelsina can help you through that.
Okay.
Hello. For the record, Nelsina Shirk with Ide Bailey. I am the audit manager on the internal audit team there. So this is, like Sherry said, was based on your last meeting.
I know Dan was out. Are you going to be the permanent audit manager for this account, or?
Yes, Dan and I both will be.
Okay.
Dan will be the partner on it, and I'm the audit manager on it.
And did you guys get the work papers from?
We have not got those yet.
Is it, what's the issue? Are they just, or did we request them
No,
yet?
That, I don't have to talk to Dan for when he gets back, because unfortunately he wasn't able to be here every, so often Ide Bailey requires our partners to go on what we call sabbatical leave. And so he's gone for 2 months without access to anything to give him some time to step away. Once he comes back, I could check to see where that is in the process. I don't have access to his email at this time.
Because I would think Moss Adams would be able to just, you know, just be all electronic, boom.
Once I find out where it's at in that process, I could reach out to Moss Adams as well, just to follow up to make sure that we're following up on it.
Okay. And that's a great benefit you guys have there, to take 2 months off and just step away.
It's off of his phone. It's no access to email or anything. So, but his emails are being monitored. So, but yeah. So I will reach out to Moss Adams just to follow up, make sure that process is going. There's a couple options that I gave you, not that you're going to be able to do all of them, but these were the main items that you guys had discussed based off of last meeting. So the first one was the risk assessment evaluation, and this would be doing an overhaul on the risk assessment, because the last one, I believe, wasn't done, for the full one wasn't done in 2012 or something like that. So I know that you guys thought that was important to look at.
Let's talk about these one at a time.
This
risk assessment, obviously, it's kind of a bigger project. But if we haven't done one in 5 or 6 years, I think it's a no.
Give a baseline.
Yeah. Does anybody have any other comments or?
Sequencing this is going to be important. You know, if we do the risk assessment and use the results of the risk assessment to drive the work plans, the projects for the remainder year. So it really depends. If there are items in here which are based on prior experience are an essential things to do, then those would become the more priorities. So that's the question before the committee.
I think one of the things we can do, and it kind of falls with that, is in the past we would have used some of the items that we knew we needed to do, and this is probably our baseline project, but have a little bit of flexibility. So we don't need to decide them all right now, but we can decide on maybe there might be two or three projects that we know we want to do. So, for example, that first one, the risk assessment, we probably want to do that because that's going to be driving a lot of the other stuff. But there's a couple other things on there, too, that I think we've been wanting to do for a while, and we're not going to wait for the risk assessment valuation. We can just move ahead on that, too. Also, too, we want to make sure that with your scheduling, we want to kind of keep things flowing throughout the year so that you don't have a time where there's nothing to do for a couple months because you're waiting to get back to us, but we kind of keep things going in a good workflow so it's steady throughout the year. So that's what my suggestion is. We definitely do the first one, and I think that a couple of the others in there that I'm kind of, we'll need to talk about, but I think the fire overtime study, that's something that is really, and the temporary staffing study because of issues that have come to pass. So those two right there. So right there, I think we've got three, and unless anybody has any other suggestions, I think that, we don't want to have more than maybe $75,000 of our budget tied up so that we can then have something to move forward. And again, if we do find something, the risk evaluation, we don't need to get it done this year. So some of those things will happen in the next year. So I think the things we really want to do now anyway, but this will give us something for the next year.
So I want to talk about, I need a refreshing answer on the cybersecurity. So I really want to know from Ide Bailey what type of review you mean about cybersecurity, and then have Eric tell me from the city perspective, because I think we had this, we were going to do it a year or two ago, and then we ended up saying we'd do a delay because, I'll let Eric tell me, but I think because of something with the state backbone and some of the other issues. So what do you guys mean by cybersecurity, and how would that relate to Carson City?
So the cybersecurity would be initially this budgeted amount would get our cybersecurity team in here to analyze the IT structure first, to identify what they're working with, and then do either penetration tests or vulnerability tests, depending on what you guys would like to have done. And it may not encompass everything that you guys have, but it'll get you to that about the $1,600 or $16,000 limit.
Correct. Yes, they already do their own because most of our communication out to the internet is through the state. So again, when I talked to Moss Adams previously, we talked about doing this, but again, they were going to do a limited penetration testing, which unless they do a full penetration testing, it's going to be left back up to our department. And okay, that's fine. Except I'm not going to be able to get to it because I won't have the funding for it.
So again, I'm trying to get to a thought process here. So do you think we should work on the cybersecurity, the IT, and really come back maybe in 2020 and see if that then brings, like you said, because we're looking for value, right? If we're going to test and do something, when will it truly bring value to the IT department and to ensure that all of our records are protected and things like that, because we owe a duty, obviously, to the people's information that we have to protect it. So what do you think?
So what they're they've added from what Moss Adams has added, which is they're going to look at the department, the structure of the department, and what we currently have. So that would be a value to us, getting an outside opinion on all our equipment and everything. The penetrations testing on the outside, we could pinpoint a few areas to look at, but it's not going to be a full penetration or vulnerability test against our system. So that's where it may be a limited test at that point, but the first part of it definitely would be value to our department.
Right now, you're saying if, so maybe not a $16,175 one, so maybe we pick, like you said, the fire, the temporary, the risk assessment, then towards the back half of this year, giving them a little time to reassess then what that cybersecurity could include, because there's no sense paying for the state portions that you wouldn't be able to test and see if that that those two groups could meet together and determine of a value, because I do think the IT structure's pretty imperative. But we leave that to our second half discussion, because I would assume the risk assessment, fire overtime, and the temporary would take you the first 6 months of plans? We could, what do you guys think?
Well, I'm sitting there looking at those projects, and I guess based on our budget, it's like we're budgeting about 1,000 hours is kind of what I'm, is that about what we're looking at? So we're looking at 1,000 hours. I look at those three projects, that's 600 hours. So that's spread out. That's over half the year. So I would think that we're probably, that would probably get us into, you know, February or something, you know, with your workload. That's the way I kind of figure it, looking at the numbers.
Out of 110, a little over half.
Yeah. 60. Yeah.
And then they'd come back to us based on the risk assessment and the update on the cybersecurity portion to get the, so we only authorize the first three for now.
And so I'm saying that just working on those three projects named are going to keep you pretty busy for the next few months. We'll be getting some feedback. Probably the first thing we would like to see is the risk assessment, you know, that would take a priority, so that we can maybe take a look at that, and the other two projects can be worked in there. But if I was to put together a priority, you know, if you, unless you can do some of those things simultaneously, it'd be getting a risk assessment done first.
Yeah, I would agree. Did our budget change year over year?
No.
Okay. There's $176,000 worth of stuff on here, so.
Yeah.
And then the budgeted hours, you just kind of were just like a kind of a placeholder. I mean, looking at overtime for one department certainly wouldn't take, or controls around one department wouldn't take 200, wouldn't take 5 weeks for one person, but.
Well, for the temporary staffing study, I think that's a big overhaul. But yeah, they are, I mean, it may not take that, and if it doesn't take that, we'll report back to you what the hours, actual hours were and the actual amount was.
Can I go into just a little more detail on the, because the other thing I've learned after now having a few years with Moss Adams and working some things is we're seeing just the general title here, but not the detailed work plan of what you intend to include in the scope of that review. So, yeah, so if you can tell, because sometimes I don't get what I'm expecting, if I'm real honest, I go, hey, wait, they didn't look at X. And so that was part of what my anticipated answer in a fire time overtime study. So can you tell me what the work plan is anticipating? So is it to, one, ensure that all billables happened, right? So Johnny went to a fire in, the car fire right now or something. He's working in Reading. And so the billables are this for that. And then Susie was the backfill to Johnny and the cost of the backfill of our, right? Is that what you mean by fire time? Looking to that everything is being billed, that it's been received, that we're tracking it, what, that it's documented. What do you anticipate in that audit?
So we look at the policy and procedures and then perform internal control testing to make sure that the proper reviews are being performed on overtime. But we can definitely add into, I mean, that looking to ensure that the support is there for those hours as well.
One of the things I'm kind of concerned about to hear about is you probably want to take a look at the policy. You probably want to take a look at the procedures. We want to see that in the report and what's being done, because you hear these situations where people are like almost like abusing the system and they're really racking up overtime. So the question is, that's what we're looking at. And first of all, there may not be an adequate policy to cover that, so that would be an issue. So we may test and look at policies, but that policy may allow for that type of thing to go on. So we're looking at efficiency and good controls. So I think Supervisor Bagwell brought up a good point. We look at this thing, but we don't see the details. And probably in the future, when we have this, we should have like a little backup sheet on what are – it's almost like an agreed-upon procedures, engagement. What are the agreed-upon procedures? And we're basically not getting to look at those so we can agree on it. We're basically agreeing on whatever, whether it's Moss Adams or Bailey, is providing. So we would kind of like to see a little bit of that in advance so we go on. So I think we're kind of pinned down our projects. We would like to see maybe in writing, maybe it can be sent to us, just what is – going to be done in there, and it could be that at that point we can just say, "Nah, we're not really that interested in that. Maybe you need to do this." So, how would you approach it?
Yeah, I think a scoping document of the three priorities would be good to have, so we can review it and be on the same page.
I agree. We'll get that to you guys just so that we're all on the same page as to what we're doing. Not saying, "Oh, no finding," or "This is a finding," and that's not something that you guys had expected. So we can get that document out.
And I think the perfect example is the last one we had from Moss Adams on the grant, where there was no findings, but it's like, well, did you look at this? Did you look at that? No. Okay, well, you got no findings because you didn't reach, maybe you didn't broadly go where we wanted to point the review. So maybe so they can get started, just a question to us. Do you think we need as much on the scoping on risk assessment so they could get started in risk assessment, but then we would approve the scoping document for the overtime and the temporary staffing? Because I hate to not have them get going. And I think risk assessment, they don't need as much of scoping on that, right?
Yeah, I don't think they need much, because, that's kind of broad, and I think they kind of understand what a risk assessment is, what you need to do. So get us that. That's kind of like beating the bushes. Let's see what kind of comes out of that. But the other two items, I think we do want to scope.
I think in the last meeting we had a sample document of what they do in a risk assessment that outlined their methodology. And so I think that was fine. The one thing that I didn't see, if you could look into that, is after you have a heat map produced, to tie it with a risk mitigation strategy. That was not in that sample report, and that would be good to have as well.
Was that from Moss or from Ide Bailey? Okay. Yeah, and if I would agree, if we could get that document as far as
so we're all tracking together.
So we're all on the same page.
So I'm understanding you guys correctly. At the next meeting, we'll bring the procedures for the overtime study and the temporary study for approval before they start. Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, and then two issues on the fire overtime study. First off, do we have other departments that have wouldn't be the same because it's a little different with fire department, but are there other departments that have a similar type issue? And then two, are we making sure that we're in compliance with all tax regulation on that? So when we have people working in the state of California, they have to pay California income tax. If you guys have ever had people working in California in any business, they get their money. So it's so much nicer to be in Nevada, but California is a difficult state to deal with, and I want to, from a compliance standpoint, I want to make sure the city's in compliance with all tax laws.
Interesting, because I think we pay them, right, and they reimburse us. So I don't know. I think it's going on in Nevada W-2. It'll be interesting. Anyway, I can look it all up.
So we can look into that, definitely, but
I mean,
the
right
city's
off the bat,
paying them, so
seems,
it's just going through
like
us
it's out of compliance.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. if you know the law in California, if any work is done in the state of California, you pay tax on it, regardless of where it's paid from. So something to consider in the scope of that audit. All right, I think that gets us started. We can pick a date here on the next audit committee meeting, but we might want to make it, with just the risk assessment evaluation, how long would you guys need to finish up that project?
I think it would take us through September, mid-October time frame.
Okay. So
that sounds good because we typically like to go a couple months, 2 to 3 months.
Yeah, I was thinking mid-October for the next meeting. So maybe we shoot to have that assessment done before the end of September, so it can go out and be a topic of discussion for the next audit committee.
And then we'll have the work plan for the fire, time, and temporary at the same time to give them their next. Because I don't want them to have gaps. I want them to be able to, flow and keep going on the work. So does that work for you guys? None of these would be done at the same time? So you could do the risk assessment and wait till October. Well, you already know which ones assignment-wise. It's just that we want to agree upon what you're looking at.
Yeah, timing-wise, that would be perfect, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess as I see it, by October, even if it wasn't finished by October, you're probably far enough ahead where we can get a preliminary report on it. Because, yeah, we don't want you to be stopped. We want to be able to keep flowing. So, I mean, we could even push it up a little bit earlier. But I'm kind of thinking usually 2 months, because we're here almost August. First Tuesday or so in October would probably be perfect. Yeah.
My suggestion would be if you could give us a couple of paragraph scope detail on both the fire and the temporary staffing. I mean, we could send out at the audit committee and say that's fine, move forward. Because I think once we look at it, we might have some feedback saying, hey, you might want to, like that tax compliance thing or something like along those lines. But I think we could do that in the interim here between, the next meeting so that things aren't held up waiting for the okay to start on the temporary staffing or the fire overtime.
Would that be considered a having another meeting? I mean, if we're going back and forth, we can't do that.
Together.
We can't comment together, so we can individually send comments. So that
we can't send individual comments.
No,
we can't all talk. About
no, not if it's to change the item. So let's say she was just emailing a work plan, so we had it early enough to really come up with some good ideas or drafts. But if we all sent her back changes, then she knows how we're all. I think we could just, I don't know, we can ask Dan, we could comment, but no voting.
So the question is, let's say she sends us a two-paragraph scope document with a lot of detail on the fire overtime study. Can we all send back our individual comments on that and then have her resend it out, or is that not acceptable?
Well, I think my preference would be for changes to be done in a public meeting. I think that's probably the best practice. Technically speaking, if you were to send individual comments without copying the other members of this committee to where you would have a quorum, and if you're also not having a back and forth dialogue, and so, in other words, what I'm saying, if it's just a one-way street communication and she's the receptacle receiving those comments, then that would be fine. That would not run afoul of the open meeting law. What I want to avoid, though, and this is where it gets sort of, murky, is if there's accidentally a dialogue that's created somehow, then all of a sudden you have what's called a serial communication or a walking quorum. So it's a very delicate balance, and that's why, my recommendation is to always, receive comments and make changes in a public meeting. It may actually belabor the point and extend the time a little bit, but I think that's the better practice.
Okay.
If I can make a recommendation, too, when you get that back to us, I think we're looking at specific procedures. Bullet points, 1, 2, 3, 4. So in the scoping of it, it might be like a general purpose of what you're looking at, but it's a matter of, some specific procedures we might want. So then if you do send that to us and we individually send you some procedures back, it's just 1, 2, 3. Then when we get back together, we look at the whole thing and say, what do we want to take out? Is this too much? And also, too, we got a budget. You know, we might come back and there might be 50 items on that thing. So we'll come back and maybe just narrow it down. Some of them might be redundant. So, but I think that's a good way. We have just specific short bullet points, and that's what we can get back to, what we want to see actually tested.
Quick question, too, on the fire. Are we, right now, are we having a similar type issue as we had last year with fire department overtime? Are we deploying firefighters to other states right now?
Yeah, actually we have 5 that are out right now at the Carr fire. And I think,
another one besides Carr. We got crews that way. And
yeah, there's some in Reno, Sparks.
We've got them everywhere.
Yeah, so, and I think the overtime is pretty high this year also.
We get reimbursed for the out-of-state fires they go to. I think there's a regional agreement for Reno Sparks. We don't get reimbursed.
Okay. Just curious.
We'll get a good audit report that really tells us what is. I think the beauty of this audit, too, is it will help the public truly understand, because I think many are really like Michael, right? They see it and go, oh, my gosh, such and such a firefighter have made $200,000 in overtime, and they get all upset. But I think it's important that we recognize what it is, why it is, and how much of it was reimbursed. And that, again, that we're able to explain it to the public and that the city does take it seriously to ensure that it's appropriate and it falls in line and it follows policies and procedures. I mean, I think people will be surprised. I think the fire department works really hard to recover, and hopefully we don't have money being left on the table, getting billed.
And that's one of the things I guess we'd want to look at. We look at the costs, but what's being reimbursed? So we know what the net cost is to the city. You know, when you see a total, you hear about somebody, I've seen it, you know, you see somebody's making $200,000 in a firefighter, you go, what? You know, is that what we're paying? But if it's only costing the city half of that, well, then it's differently. But we don't know that, you know. And it might be in looking at that, we might see procedures in place to make sure we're getting those reimbursements, you know, right there, you know. So, yeah, how are they making sure of the time, keeping track of the time and getting it reimbursed? So it'll be a fun project, I'm sure.
All right, thank you. We don't need a motion on that, so public comment. Public is invited at this time. We don't have any public, but public is invited at this time to comment on any matter that is not specifically included on the agenda as an action item. No action may be taken on this matter raised under the item of the agenda. So,
Next meeting.
Sounds like we're looking for earlier, mid-October.
Try for the 9th. How's anybody else look that day?
You're ahead of me.
See that good old paper versus that electronic.
Yep.
The 9th looks good for you? I don't like the 16th, but.
19th's better for me.
9th.
The 9th.
9th?
Yeah.
9th? Okay. Got it.
Let's book it.
Same like the 4 o'clock. Does that work for you, Michael?
Yeah.
The better?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock on October 9th is the next audit committee meeting. Okay. And with that, this meeting is adjourned.
Good.
Thank you.